Lesson 45. What it means to be neutral. Jesus taught that his followers should be no part of the world. John 15:19. This includes being neutral, not taking sides in the world's politics and wars. Realistically, it is not always easy to be neutral. We may be ridiculed because of this. How can we stay neutral and remain loyal to Jehovah God? Point 1. How do true Christians view human governments? Christians respect the government. We do as Jesus said at Mark 12:17 and pay back Caesar's things to Caesar. That is, we obey the laws of the land, such as those that require us to pay taxes. The Bible teaches that human governments rule only because Jehovah allows them to rule. So we recognize that human governments have only relative or limited authority. We look to our God and His heavenly kingdom to solve mankind's problems. Point 2. How can we show that we are neutral? Like Jesus, we do not get involved in politics. When the people saw one of Jesus' miracles and tried to make him their king on earth, he did not let them. Why not? Because as he later said, according to John 18:36, "My kingdom is no part of this world." As Jesus' disciples, we show our neutrality in a number of ways. For example, we do not go to war. Micah 4:3 says, "He will render judgment among many peoples, and set matters straight respecting mighty nations far away. They will beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning shears. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, nor will they learn war anymore." We respect national symbols, such as flags, but we do not worship them. And we do not take sides for or against any political party or candidate. In these ways and others, we show that we are completely loyal to God's government, His kingdom.
Dig deeper. Examine situations that may test our neutrality and see how you can make decisions that will please Jehovah. Point 3. True Christians are neutral. Jesus and His followers set the example for us. Romans 13:1 says, "Let every person be in subjection to the superior authorities, for there is no authority except by God. The existing authorities stand placed in their relative positions by God." Verses 5-7 say, "There is therefore compelling reason for you to be in subjection, not only on account of that wrath, but also on account of your conscience. That is why you are also paying taxes, for they are God's public servants constantly serving this very purpose. Render to all their dues. To the one who calls for the tax, the tax. To the one who calls for the tribute, the tribute. To the one who calls for fear, such fear. To the one who calls for honor, such honor." 1 Peter 2:13-14 says, "For the Lord's sake, subject yourselves to every human creation, whether to a king as being superior, or to governors as sent by him to punish wrongdoers, but to praise those who do good." Listen to the audio for the video, "True Christians Are Neutral, Part 1. To find all media for Lesson 45, go to the publication Enjoy Life Forever on jw.org.
Our theme this month is Christian neutrality. What it means, what it takes, and why we choose it. What is your opinion? Where do you stand? Can one person make a difference in countering injustice? When we hear people discussing political topics, we might at first think their conversation is purely philosophical. But when injustice threatens our loved ones, it can seem personal. We expect that people will be divided over political ideology, Revelation chapters 8 through 13 foretold that in the last days, government would be the burning issue among mankind, and that people would feel pressured to take sides. The question each of us needs to ask himself is, how do I respond when people debate solutions to serious injustices? As Christians, we're most interested in the example of Christ. Satan was pleased to offer him all the kingdoms of the inhabited earth in an exchange for one act of worship. But Jesus wouldn't accept it. Neither did he assert that Satan had no authority to make such an offer. Later, Jesus' own countrymen tried to make him king, but he rejected that too. Later still, someone asked him whether it was lawful to pay taxes to the Roman government. Again, Jesus didn't take sides. He refused to become a world ruler, a national leader, or a political activist. Did that mean that Jesus didn't care, that he had no opinion? To the contrary, Jesus cared more deeply than we can fathom. And by treating people fairly, Jesus promoted justice at the most fundamental level. Still, his principal focus was on teaching people about the kingdom of God, which would eliminate injustice for all time. So, what did Jesus indicate should be our position regarding human governments? We learn from Jesus' response to the question about Roman taxation, as recorded at Mark chapter 12, verses 15 through 17. "Bring me a denarius to look at." They brought one. And he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They said to him, "Caesar's." Jesus then said, "Pay back Caesar's things to Caesar, but God's things to God." What are Caesar's things? At Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, the Apostle Paul lists tax, tribute, fear, and honor. Notice, too, that Jesus said to pay back Caesar's things. What does that imply? That Caesar, the ruling authority of the day, had issued valuable things. Coins, for example. Thus, Caesar had the right to ask for some of those coins back. This enabled the state to continue rendering necessary services. Jesus acknowledged that. On the other hand, our most valuable possessions are grants from God Himself. Such gifts as our heart, our life, our mind, and our strength. We can't give those things back to Caesar because Caesar didn't grant them to us in the first place. We rightly give those things back to God in the form of our dedication and our love. Regarding our love for God, Jesus said at Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, "You must love Jehovah your God with your whole heart, and with your whole soul, and with your whole mind, and with your whole strength." So the love we give back to God is total, no bodily part, function, capacity, or desire being left out. Those who love God take the side of Jesus, whom Jehovah has appointed as king.
Why should we respect secular authorities? What are some ways we show that we are in subjection to them? In times of war, some nations may claim to be neutral, but they assist both sides in the conflict. What is real neutrality? John 17:16 says, "They are no part of the world, just as I am no part of the world." Listen to the audio for the video, "True Christians Are Neutral, Part 2.
So as Christians, what is our position where political matters are concerned? We are neutral. Sometimes people misunderstand this viewpoint. Some have concluded that because we don't promote one human government, that we must be promoting another human government. In the 1950s, in what is now the Republic of Congo, authorities falsely accused Jehovah's Witnesses of being communists. But during the 1970s, when Congo adopted a communist form of government, the new authorities found fault with us for not being communists. Today, however, and for nearly three decades, Jehovah's Witnesses have enjoyed legal status in the Republic of Congo. And whereas some have perceived our Christian neutrality as sheer apathy, others construe our position as a threat. Let's address both of these viewpoints. First, there is a big difference between Christian neutrality and apathy. Apathy is defined as a lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern. We certainly don't lack interest in people, nor are we insensitive to their feelings. Like Jesus, we strive to alleviate people's suffering by helping them in practical ways while teaching them about the only kingdom that can eliminate injustice. By teaching people from God's Word, we endeavor to change hearts, not political institutions. We feel this approach is realistic because mankind's main problems are not political, but moral. But why can it be said that Jehovah's Witnesses are not a threat, but rather an asset? We conscientiously obey the laws. We support our communities through volunteer service or compulsory civilian service where that exists. And we pay our taxes. It's true we don't vote for political parties or candidates, but neither do we disrupt elections or interfere with those who choose to vote. It's true we don't lobby, campaign, or run for government office, but neither do we criticize those in power, undermine their policies, or demonstrate for political change. It's true we won't salute a flag, but neither will we burn a flag, spit on a flag, or disparage the nation that a flag represents, even in lands where these are considered protected expressions of freedom. It's true we don't sing national anthems, but neither do we discourage others from singing, nor do we make a public spectacle of not singing. We simply don't participate. It's true we wouldn't kill people in war, but neither would we attack people at home. So while we don't promote any political position, neither do we condemn any political position, even in our heart. That is what neutrality means. We don't take sides.
What does it mean to be neutral? What if secular authorities demand something that conflicts with God's law? Acts 5:28 and 29 says, "And said, We strictly ordered you not to keep teaching on the basis of this name. And yet look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring the blood of this man upon us." In answer, Peter and the other apostles said, "We must obey God as ruler rather than men." Listen to the audio for the video, "True Christians Are Neutral, Part 3.
What if the demands of the state conflict with the commands of Jesus? There's a Bible principle for that. Are you thinking of what it says at Acts chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, that we must obey God as ruler rather than men? This is not disregard for the state, but rather reverence for God. If the state demands that we do what God forbids or refrain from doing what God commands, then we believe God would consider that an invalid request. Now, one might say, I can imagine some situations where that viewpoint could get you into trouble. Jesus foretold as much at Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, where he said, "You will be hated by all the nations on account of my name." More specifically, at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, Jesus said that some of his disciples would be thrown into prison. Not all of us, but some. So we're not disappointed if we don't get thrown into prison, but neither are we discouraged if we do.
If there is a conflict between human law and God's law, whose law should we obey? Can you think of any circumstances in which Christians would not obey secular authorities? Point 4. Be neutral in thought and action. 1 John 5:21 says, "Little children, guard yourselves from idols." Listen to the audio for the video, "Why True Christians Need Courage to Maintain Neutrality."
Bless you. I became one of Jehovah's Witnesses in 1975 in Zaire. Zaire was under dictatorship at that time. There was only one political party, and everyone was supposed to join it. Therefore, a position at work also required a position in the political party. I refused to have anything to do with these political activities. One day they asked me to be present for the flag salute. I had to go and explain to all the workers that had assembled why I didn't want to be there. So as I set off, understandably, I prayed a lot. Until then, I would just stay out of sight. But on that day, everyone was very angry, so I had to be present. On Saturday, a man from the party came. He came to the office and started to yell, "Who doesn't want to participate in political activities?" He carried on talking and called everyone to come outside. So everyone went outside. I stayed alone in the office. On the way home, I thought maybe they were going to arrest me, but they did not. We went home, myself included. Afterwards, besides having to face peer pressure nearly every day, I was demoted. One year, the children didn't attend school because we didn't have enough money. Even for our day-to-day needs, it became difficult. I didn't neglect spiritual things. I always kept busy attending the meetings, participating at the meetings, in the ministry, with my personal study, and even more so with my prayer to Jehovah. Jehovah has blessed me because I'm still in the truth. All that time, He has blessed me. To be neutral is the best way to show that we support Jehovah's kingdom, apart from the preaching work, obviously. Even when the government goes against our activity, we shouldn't take this as something bad or negative. It can serve a purpose. It can render a witness. It is a witness in support of God's kingdom, the name of Jehovah, and His authority. Understanding it in that way, we will rely on Jehovah. Jehovah never allows something without reason.
In the video, why did Ayenge decide not to join the political party or participate in nationalistic ceremonies, such as saluting the flag? Do you think that he decided wisely? What other situations can test our neutrality? Listen to the audio for the video, Lessons from the Watchtower: Remain Neutral in a Divided World.
As a professor of finance, I need to be well-informed. As a Christian, I also need to be well-informed, as do all Christians.
It's difficult not to take sides in politics. It's very difficult because we are aware of the issues.
I always really liked soccer, ever since I was little. I lived in a poor area, and soccer was what we used to do for fun.
There was a journalist that I liked to keep up with. He would point out both the good and bad on all sides of politics. But when he spoke up and pointed out only the bad side of a political party, I did not like that.
I live in the downtown area of the city. There is where the largest political demonstrations take place. People from this area are really into politics. They have definite opinions. And even though I always knew that we must remain neutral, I secretly approved of the demonstrations.
On the outside, I wasn't jumping up and down or cheering. But on the inside, I was saying, "Come on, let's win." It was all about the desire, the crowd, the pride of your team having the most victories or the most trophies.
I used to rationalize saying, "I was created in Jehovah's image and Jehovah is a just God." What was speaking was my sense of justice. I thought neutrality was shown through actions and not through what I felt.
The April 2016 Watchtower has interesting information regarding neutrality. Being neutral means that you do not consider yourself better than others, because in God's sight, all people are equal.
After studying the article, I realized that I needed to make changes. I was not being neutral, so I read the article again. I prayed to Jehovah. I said to him that I knew it was as if he were speaking to me.
The magazine really touched me deeply. I remember reading the article at least 3 times that evening. I was really surprised. I realized how far off I was from what God wanted me to be on the inside.
The second situation mentioned in the article has to do with news reports in the media. The article even suggests that we limit our intake of the news that we watch related to politics.
There was another phrase that really moved me. It said, "Even if we don't march with protesters, might we be with them in spirit?" Yes, I was with them, yes. There were several phrases in that article that were written just for me.
When I cut back watching so many news reports, and I had to, this helped me to have self-control when I spoke to others at work. When workmates mentioned something that was in the news, I didn't have anything to say since I hadn't seen it. I didn't know about it. A workmate would say, "Did you see that so-and-so said this and that someone else made a statement?" I would say, "No, I didn't see it." And that was the end of the conversation.
The article mentions Romans 10:12, which says that Jehovah is Lord over all of us, that there's no difference between Jew and Greek. To Jehovah, it's not important if my country has 5 or 6 titles, or if it won or lost the World Cup. To Jehovah, all people are equal.
I took a piece of paper, just a simple piece of paper, and I wrote on it the 4 key points that the article talks about. 4 key points that will help us to remain neutral. I keep it in my purse. That way I can always read it at work.
I like watching soccer. It's fun. I still watch it on TV. I still play soccer with my friends at Bethel. But I've made an effort to change. Little by little, I've managed to put soccer in its proper place. This helps me to keep pride and nationalism from getting the best of me.
I learned from this article not to express opinions about politics. That has to come from deep inside. If I'm convinced that God's kingdom is the best solution and that there's nothing that comes even close, remaining neutral will come naturally. But I can't let my guard down.
I really enjoy studying articles from the Watchtower, especially those dealing with practical matters. They help me see the Bible as if it were a mirror that shows me where I can improve.
Following counsel and making the changes suggested in the article has helped me to speak with the conviction that only the kingdom can solve mankind's problems.
How can we remain neutral when it comes to international sporting events? How can we remain neutral even if we are personally affected by the decisions of politicians? How could the news media or our associations affect our neutrality? The picture caption reads, "In what areas must a Christian remain neutral in thought and action?" Someone may ask,
"Why don't you salute the flag or sing the national anthem?"
How would you respond?
Summary. Christians work hard to be politically neutral in their thoughts, words, and actions. Review. What do we owe human governments? Why do we remain politically neutral? What situations can test our neutrality? Goal. Think of a situation in which your neutrality could be tested, and decide in advance how you will handle it. Set other goals.
Explore. What sacrifices may we need to make in order to remain neutral?
He congratulated me for being a hard worker who was honest and productive. But he said there was just one thing missing. I needed to join a political party.
Watch the video, "Jehovah Has Never Let Us Down." What can families do to prepare in advance for tests of their neutrality?
But, Dad, what exactly do we do during the national anthem?
Honestly, I wasn't sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please stand for the singing of our national anthem?
Watch the video, Maintain Neutrality at Public Events. Why is defending one's country not the highest honor a person could have?
I was a fervent patriot. I had a special regard for the flag of my country. In one bag, I always had weapons and the flag.
Watch the video, All Things Are Possible with God. Consider how to remain no part of the world when making decisions about your employment. Read, Each One Will Carry His Own Load, in The Watchtower, March 15th, 2006. End of Lesson 45.